Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. It's the getting the college football season kicked off here, which gets my tailgate juices flowing. We've got a couple of those coming up that I'm really excited about. Always a fun gig to do that. But we're going to talk a little bit today about the fall menu set and what that's going to look like and some of the things that we traditionally grill in the fall. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Welcome to the show. It is the weekend, so it's the Grilling Guys. Time to get your smoker fired up, get your grill cleaned out, cleaned off, fueled, ready to rip.
Should be a lot of fun. I'm just came off a wedding last night where I was catered for a smaller one, just about 100 people showed up, but it was an outdoor deal. And it was interesting because one of the uncles provided a hog, and it was the classic whole hog that they smoked over the fire, and he brought it, and it wasn't broken down. And it was like, what are you going to do with that? And he's looking at me like, and I've got the rest of the meal, right? He was going to bring the hog, and I was going to do the rest of the meal, and I'm all set up, got my timing, got everything working like it's got to work. And it was like, curveball, you know, and we got to help this guy break down this hog. I was under the impression that he was going to bring it ready to eat. And no, he brought it as a whole hog. So we had a little diversion, little frenzy of pulling pork.
Little brain damage?
Yeah. And, you know, it's just, once again, it just reminds me that I guess there's some a cool factor by bringing an entire hog to a party. But at the end of the day, it's just so much easier to use shoulders. Yeah. And the results is good. I mean,
better.
Yeah.
Results are way better.
And it was, you know, hot and it was just a mess.
Whole hog is so overrated.
Yeah.
I don't get excited about it. I've seen too many. My first whole hog was out in Hawaii when I was in the service, and it was a Kahlua pig in the ground, and it was wonderful. They bury it in sea salt, they stuff vegetables in it, put the hot rocks on it, cover it with taro leaves and then gunny sacks, and then fill it up with sand from the beach, literally.
Right.
And it was phenomenal. Of course, I was a young GI.
Sure.
Free food was phenomenal. But yeah. this was really, really good. And then I started smoking years later and realized that normally whole hogs don't get a lot of smoke penetration. And there's nothing like having good bark on all your pieces of meat. And the problem with those whole hogs is you destroy so much trying to get the dense piece done that it's overrated. It's a mess.
And, you know, and they were all excited for 100 people. He bought a 240-pound hog. Well, granted, you lose half, if not more.
So everybody got a pound and a half of meat.
Yeah, to take home with them. Exactly. And so the 30 pounds of skinless, boneless chicken thighs that I had put together were eaten because, again, when you bring a whole hog, it's like some people are grossed out by that. Mm-hmm. The ladies, generally, they'll be like, I'm not eating any of that. I don't want to pick meat off a carcass.
That's what you wanted them to do?
Right, yeah, right. We broke it down so that they didn't have to, but they still saw it, right? Because it was sitting on a table behind the...
Here's a clever way to do that next time. Just get a little suckling pig. You know, just a little one. Smoke that. Now you've got your, whatever you're looking for, bragging rights.
Right.
I beg to differ. And then do a bunch of pork shoulders, and then tear up those pork shoulders and shred it and make a mountain of pork around that thing so they can look at the poor little pig that lost his life for nothing.
Right.
And eat the good mommy that's on the table. I did some, I've gotten excited about getting my I call it a Brazilian or Argentinian rotisserie out that you love so much. Mm. And I did some pork tenderloins on it, and I butterflied them, and I put some dried tomatoes inside, and I bound it with butcher's twine and just salt and peppered it and put it on the rotisserie. Had two halves, and I made up a little glaze that I saw online. It was blue cheese and milk, and you whisk it together, and it makes a nice cream. And I just kept putting that over it because, you know, you can do that with yogurt.
Right.
This was like a tangy yogurt.
Sure.
And, oh, my gosh, it was so fantastic. I put a little Italian profile on the pork before I put it on the grill, and then I started basting it as soon as it seared a little bit. Fantastic.
Were those sun-dried tomatoes, or were they just regular raw tomatoes?
Sun-dried, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they do that?
Yeah, right. Yeah. No sun in Michigan.
There's
actually
no bird feet marks on them or anything.
Right, yeah. You know, that sounds fabulous, you know. I've used roasted red peppers that come in a jar.
Those are good, too.
In there,
yeah,
as well.
A little mushier.
Right, exactly.
It's the problem I have with those. So I don't know. I've got a thing for dried tomatoes. They're just so they come off with my mouth's watering thinking about it. They're just so tangy.
Right.
And I'm eating a lot of tomatoes this year anyway because I told you that drip line in the garden.
Right.
And we have tomato plants that are probably 5 to 6 feet wide, and they're falling over. They've busted the cages.
It's like, yeah.
You can't hardly get through to get the tomatoes. There's more tomatoes than I can eat.
Right. And right now is the time.
Oh,
for those. Yeah.
Well, they're late this year,
exactly.
Like you said before. And I also did a bunch of cucumbers. So remember we had Tony on from Cadillac, Michigan? Tony Naderhood, her husband and her have that big fireplace shop up there.
Right.
Positive Chimney. She gave me a recipe for sun pickles. So I'm going to pick all those cucumbers, and I'm going to make a bunch of big jars of sun pickles while we still have a little bit of sun.
Right, and it gets up above 50 during the day. There has been a little bit of snap in the air.
Really?
And it kind of, you know, it's this time of year that you bust a bow out. I hunt now with a crossbow. So
cheater.
You kind of pull it out, and you go, yep, it's still dialed in.
And, shots and you practiced.
Right, yeah. Exactly. But those
hey, at least you're honest. A lot of guys don't admit that.
But I know that you still hunt with the compound, and so now's the time to get that thing out and fire it up. And if you're not, it doesn't perform like you want it to, here's my word of advice is get it to your sporting goods shop like Al and Bob's right now. Don't wait till the weekend before opener get it down there.
That's where my Bowtech came from.
Right.
And it stays dialed in. I haven't dropped it yet, fortunately, in 3 years. But I'm not going to be able to practice. I'm still doing that home reno project. So I'm looking at this deer season as being a really brief one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get the house buttoned up before the weather turns, and right? You said you're working on the doors this week and stuff. You got the windows in, so you'll get it dried in, and
I got all the building supplies from Standale Lumber, and I'll tell you what, the windows are Geldwin, and they're just vinyl. I didn't go with the total high end, but they're low E glass and all this double hung, and gosh, they work so nice. I was just in one this morning shutting it in one of the rooms up there before I left to meet you. And, and I just lifted it up, and it just slid so nicely. Yeah. It was weird.
So
it
must be installed at Square and Plum. That's good,
I didn't have to shim a one of them.
Right?
Yeah.
So your rough carpenters did a good job, too.
Did a great job.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you know, there you go. That's what it's all about.
The dude's 64 years old, and he did everything in 2x6 and OSB, and it's a beefcake of a house.
Yep.
I'm happy.
Not his first rodeo.
I'm happy.
Right.
Yep. I'll be able to live out my golden years in a solid house.
Yeah.
Won't maybe be hurricane proof, but we do have hurricane straps on it.
Well, and you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't stop to just spend a second on sending a shout out to the people that are not only in Houston, but Florida and all the places where these hurricanes are decimating things, man.
My wife showed me a picture of Ivan's Stress Fee Resort where we were in January.
Uh-huh.
Leveled.
Really?
Leveled. The whole thing.
Wow. I mean, that hits home because you were just there. You guys spent 2 weeks down there with some of your friends, and now that the hurricane just took it right off the map.
Gone.
Really?
Poor people.
Right. I mean, this is their livelihood. You had a great time down there.
Oh, yeah. Too. It's fantastic. Ivan is a wonderful man who's suffering from either Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. I can't remember, but
he might not be able to either.
Yeah, that's not funny.
Yeah.
He's got that's so bad.
Sorry, couldn't resist. Yeah. Teed that one up. But and I don't know Ivan, so I'm not calling him out. But my point is that there's a lot of destruction happening right now. And, you know, if you can find it in your heart to support that, you know, just use a quality name brand charity and watch out for the shysters out there. But yeah. But we need to help our fellow man, and that's what it's all about. But speaking about helping our fellow man, we got a guy named Blake Carson that has invented a rotisserie. Bob referenced it a little bit earlier. And we're going to have him on the live line next. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com. Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We appreciate you tuning in and spending a little time with Barbecue Bob and I. What's cooking, baby?
Well, right now on the grilling line, we have a fellow that I met in March of 2011. In Salt Lake City at the Hearth Patio and Barbecue Show. His name is Blake Carson from Carson Rodizio. How you doing, buddy?
What up? What up? Doing great.
Yeah, so Blake hails from Memphis. He's got a very strong passion for Argentinian charrascoa barbecue, and he's made the unit that Randy loves that I have so much. I hope it's still in my garage. I know it is. Yeah. But it's called Carson. And your new product is called Carson Rodizio. And we just want to welcome you to the show. And it's awful nice to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you allowing me to chat with you today.
So want to basically tell people about your latest products because it just keeps expanding. And you have actually a company that's partnered up with you that's doing the manufacturing. Tell us about that.
Well, basically, the new brand is Carson Rodizio. Rodizio is pretty much the word for the entire market segment. So that word will become common language soon as the World Rodizio Revolution grows, as we say. The style of it is just as social as it gets. You know, the technique, the family that you had mentioned is Tomasi. They're a third generation family that pretty much have been the backbone of the entire industry in the world. If you eat at a Brazilian steakhouse, more than likely you've already eaten off the equipment that comes out of their factory. So the same machine, same factory builds the Carson Rodizio by Tomasi brand. And in essence, the market segment is Rodizio. Rodizio, literal translation in Portuguese, means wheel. But it's kind of that constant spinning spirit of a party, the meats, the food. It's a rock concert of flavor. It's visual. It's entertaining. And it's just completely 180 to what the status quo, as we like to call it, in, you know, the United States have been grown up and been taught to, you know, how they've been taught to barbecue.
Right. There are several very successful chains and, of course, plenty of independents, but I'm sure a lot of people have eaten at a Brazilian steakhouse. So what we're talking about is a firebox, and you stack up the skewers, and there's a box behind it that has little sockets that all these skewers go into, and they're all turning at the same time.
It's all skewer-driven. It's all open flame. It's all rotisserie. It's all musical skewers, as we say, so you're able to feed a mass amount of people with all sorts of different variety. You know, as an example, I'll be feeding 650 people on Sunday, and I'll be moving around. I'll have, I think, 18 kits. So, you know, well over 100 skewers when you add all the variety together throughout the night.
So you'll be stacking them up. So
it'll be like 250 skewers, I think, in all will be what we'll be spinning that day. And I'll be one person doing it all.
Do you put the raw meat on the bottom for starters?
It all depends on what protein you're doing.
Right.
And how fast you need to do it. So the one thing you can't control when it comes to making a living in food is people's punctuality. People pay me a lot of money to cook them premium menus. And they'll always say, and it's always usually a high stressful situation. Somebody's trying to impress somebody. And, you know, we need food service to begin at 6:30. And then notoriously they'll come to me and say, can you push it back to 7:30? And it's like, gladly. Whereas if I'm cooking conventionally, I'd be like, what?
Right, right.
So Brazilian barbecue, if I get that, I just move everything up. Because you can just move everything up, slow cook it. Everything's pretty much par cook. And so when the mass come, you drop it down hot, sear it off, carve it up, and everybody has a good time.
So Blake, this job, this thing fascinates me, and we've used it, your previous models. It's a standalone, and it had a little box, if everybody's listening, that where we build a charcoal fire in it, and then the skewers, I think there were seven of them that we could put in there at three at one level, four at the other maybe. It was people at a tailgate were mesmerized by this thing, which is what really drew me to it, because it was much more than just cooking food for people. It was entertaining. And I had guys coming up taking videos of this thing, like, I've never seen anything like this before. And it's just, it's kind of like a hook a little bit that you get somebody
it's
to come in and watch that.
And I'll give you an example to piggyback on what you just said. So I catered for the entire executive team at Disney last December. And the culinary director, Chef Eddie, basically said one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. And that is, the morale of the room is what truly dictates the taste of the steak. There's no chef on the planet, not even at Disney, that can make anything taste good to a person that shows up determined to be in a bad mood. And so basically what he's saying is what the Carson Rodizio brand and cultural, you know, basically what we're about. And it already sets the stage of anticipation to where the morale in the room is a little bit higher than normal versus a conventional grill played out burger, lid, hot dog, whatever. It's just the same old, same old. Really nothing to get excited about and come and eat and blah, blah, blah. We typically charge somewhere between 100 and 250 a head because you're adding a lot more value than just, you know, feeding people, your actual entertainment. And that's why we're culinary musicians. And we get that creative high when you're right there in front of people, when they walk up to the, you know, Rodizio Wall of Flame. It's basically just a premium food bar. And everything's cooked hot, fresh, on site. None of it's cooked, you know, off-site and brought in. It's our kitchen is wherever we are.
So it's not just proteins either, right? You're doing vegetables and others?
Everything. I mean, we'll do 27 different varieties of things. That's the kind of the cool thing about the row case is that it can be hot, cold, dry. So we can have one row case be completely cold for salads, one row case be, you know, completely hot for holding proteins hot, and then a dry storage and then sinks. And so it's just so much fun.
So where can people see this product online?
Right now, you can go to crodizio.com. Our URL's in transfer mode. It's supposed to be working again tomorrow. CarsonRodizio.com is the main URL, but for now, temporary URL is crodizio.com, and you can learn all you ever want to know about it.
So Blake, where can somebody get one of these? Are they only available online, or do you have a dealer network?
We have a limited dealer network. There's a gentleman in Wyoming. There's Canada. There's maybe about three or four in the United States. Currently, we have a laundry list of dealers that have been graciously waiting for us to really attack the dealer network. But for now, it's just through myself and about three dealers here in the country.
Very nice.
So we can buy it online. So Blake Carson, Carson Rodizio, good to talk to you again, friend. It's been like 8 years, and I'm glad to hear that you're doing
that
so well.
We met the first show. That was when I really got my ears wet. And
yeah.
Good meeting you then.
Well, you had a great position in the show, too, because everybody that came in saw it, and you always had a crowd around you. So the magic is there, and we certainly appreciate you taking time with us. We're going to speak with you again, and I hope to see you soon.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one.
Right. Thanks, Blake.
Yeah, this unit, he didn't talk about it, but it sits on top of your grill, the newest one that he's got. So the one that you have, Bob, is a grill in and of itself. You actually build a fire in the unit itself,
yeah.
Where this one is a little more flexible
because
it sits on top of your grill.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
So, but a really cool, I'm telling you, if you throw a party and you bust one of these things out, it is mesmerizing to people. So coming up next, speaking of busting something out, pheasants, ducks, and geese, watch them run. Stick with us. We'll be back. Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Satisfaction's been our name since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Have you missed episodes of the Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, thanks for tuning in this weekend. We are in transition out of the summer. We're on the back end of the Labor Day weekend, and we're starting to think a little bit of fall grilling. And when that happens, Barbecue Bob and I head outdoors and talk about a little bit of the game that we might get in the fall. We're both hunters, and we enjoy cooking the wild game. What you thinking, Bob?
Well, you can't help but think about fall when you wake up and it's like 45
yeah,
degrees.
Like it was this morning. Yeah, my furnace was on for the first time in like 3 months.
Oh, lucky you.
This morning, yeah.
I'm sleeping in my basement. I don't have a front door.
Right.
And I have a curtain in the stairway to keep the mosquitoes and bugs out.
Right.
That cold air and the cats snake right down that stairway. And fortunately, I've got my Bunsen burner sleeping next to me, so I'm staying nice and warm. But
sure.
I'll tell you what, that house is cold in the morning. You gotta get the Stormy out.
Yeah, well, you'll get it buttoned up here in the next week or two, and she'll warm up for you. But you know, the fall is a season, and I really enjoy bird hunting. Whether it's upland game, which is quail or pheasants, those are partridge, maybe.
That's really your wheelhouse,
right,
isn't it?
Yep. I lost Gibby this year, so I don't have a dog now, so it'll put a little bit of a damper on that, but I've got buddies that got them, so we can go do that. The other thing is the waterfowl season a little bit later in the year is when that really kicks in. There's some early seasons on geese that are happening in September, but at the end of the day, Barbecue Bob wanted to talk about pheasants, ducks, and geese, and how it that we might prepare those if you've got one.
Speaking of ducks, I'm going to finally go duck hunting. Maggie's boyfriend, Christian, has offered multiple times, and I promised I'd go duck hunting with him. So I don't know that I've ever duck hunted before. I used to goose hunt, but I don't believe I've ever shot a duck.
Well, you'll enjoy yourself because it's very social. You're sitting in a blind.
They're fast, though.
And they're fast, right? And you'll miss the first 20 that you shoot at because you'll be behind them because they're moving. But once you figure it out, you'll dial it in and make it happen. But there's a couple things that happen with ducks. And if we're going to go with a wild duck, just like the goose or even the pheasant, you're looking at very lean meat. And generally, you're only using the breast meat of the bird because the rest of it is either really small or really chewy, right, when it's all said and done. So
do you ever do duck jerky?
What? You know, I don't. I don't like it that much. I just pull the breast out of it, and I was going to talk a little bit about, you know, you can get domestic duck,
right,
too, right? You can go to your butcher and
really
grab a duck.
Really fatty.
Right, yeah, that's where I was going to go, is that domestic duck, you got to take the fat off it, whereas a wild duck, there isn't a lot of fat on it, and you're fine. Now, if you've got the patience, the duck turns out better if you pluck it and leave the skin around the breast because it's so dry that you're going to want to try to keep any moisture you can on it. But most people don't mess with plucking.
So
the
if
duck.
You're lucky enough to have a few ducks,
right?
How do you pluck it? Do you steam it?
Well, you dump it in hot water. Just get a bucket of boiling water and you just take the duck by the feet and drop it down in there for
clean
about
it
10
first?
Seconds. Yeah. Yeah, you clean it first, but then you dunk it down in there, and the feathers will then become very loose, and you can pull them off.
Have you ever tried aging duck?
No, and I know we had that Italian gentleman on
who
was making duck prosciutto, but let's go back to a guy that busts a couple mallards, right, in the season. Now, because they're so dry and they're so lean, I'm going to put them in a brine, okay? And the brine is a simple brine. You've got salt and water. Right? That's a brine. You want to put some aromatics in there, some thyme, some bay leaf. You can do that. One variation that I like with game is an apple profile. So you could substitute the water with apple juice, and you're going to get a really nice profile on that.
How much acid do you pick up with that?
Well, not a lot because it's apple juice, right? It's not a lemon or a lime. It's not citrus, but there's a little bit of it in there. But I'm going to still put the salt in there. If I substitute the apple juice in, it's going to sit maybe 6 to 24 hours is what I want it in that brine. Then what I'm going to do is take them out of the brine, dry them off on a rack because you want them dry before you're going to, and that little pellicle that you've talked about before, it's just a little film, a little skin. That's okay. You want that on there.
So you throw it on a rack and put it back in the fridge for a couple hours.
Right, and let it, or right on the counter because we're not going to hurt it. We're gonna smoke it up.
But the refrigerator is going to dry it up quicker.
Yeah, yep, exactly. You're spot on. So, and then what I'm going to do is coat it with a little bit of olive oil before I put it on the smoker. And I'm going to smoke this at a low smoke, maybe 160 to 170 degrees, because I don't want a big hot smoke. I want it to take a while. about an hour to an hour and a half on there till my internal temperature gets to 135, which is a medium, almost medium rare. This is duck now, okay? Because that duck is delicate, and I don't want to cook it too fast and get it hard and crunchy on the outside, because when I serve it, I'm gonna cut it on the bias and fillet it off in little thin pieces across the breast so that we get little medallions.
So you want to look at how your grain is going on that breast.
Right.
Just like a brisket.
Right. They're oblong like an egg, and you cut across them rather than cut lengthways on them. Cut the short way, and you'll get your little medallions. And I go like an eighth to a quarter inch thick is all. I don't want big chunks. It's very delicate, and you just want a taste of it on there. And again, with that little apple profile, man, it's fabulous.
So you could do like slice it real thin, do a little cream cheese mixture and a cracker and make little nice.
Yeah, and that's just the thing. Cheese and duck go very well together.
And you can eat that cold after you smoked it, too.
Absolutely.
Because we had that, somebody brought in some, my friend out in Wisconsin brought in some smoked pheasant that he had bacon wrapped. He streams our show over in northern Wisconsin. And I think you did a recipe on
it's actually bacon. On thegrillingguys.com.
Yeah. You bacon wrapped pheasant.
Right.
He brought some in when I arrived, my client over there. He was so proud of himself, and it was cold. And I was like, oh, great. And I was thinking to myself, I don't know, cold. It doesn't sound so great. And he sliced it up. I could not stop eating it cold.
Yep. Right.
It was so good cold.
Yeah. And if you go to thegrillingguys.com, our website, and you look up recipes and type in the word pheasant in there, I'll save you from going through this entire recipe, but it's there. That recipe that's up there is for 10 birds, because in Michigan, I'm fortunate to have some friends that are involved in some habitat organizations that have created their farmland to be a great habitat for pheasants. But by and large, there aren't as many indigenous pheasants out there as there used to be. So what we generally do is go to a hunt club. Right. Well, when you come out of the hunt club, generally they want three birds per guy in the field. You go with three or four guys, you're going to come away with 10, a dozen birds if your dog's worth his weight in salt, you know. So my point is that recipe on the Grilling Guys is for 10 birds. And I do those whole rather than the breast on the pheasant, but I'm only going to eat the breast. It's just the bacon is easier to wrap and hold around it if we leave the whole carcass together. Yeah. And largely.
And is the skin on it?
No. Okay. No, they're skinned.
I thought they were skinned already.
Yeah, and that's the way you get them from most of the hunt clubs.
Right.
They'll clean them for you.
It's too much work to feather them.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, there again, that's a brine, that's a flavor, and then we're smoking those. But I wrap those in bacon because the pheasants are super lean and super dry.
So goose, what I have made in the past, and anytime I get any goose given to me, and it's not that often, but I make jerky out of it, and that's really kind of all I care for with the goose. Am I wrong there?
No, you're not wrong at all. This is a very strong flavored meat, and when you cut it off in strips, right, and again, you're using the breast meat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it there
kind
on a goose.
Kind of purple-colored.
Right, yeah, exactly. And but you know, and here's a trick that some people do. If you put a little sodium nitrite in there, which is it's actually an ingredient in gunpowder.
Nice.
So it's controlled. You might not be able
to get
it.
So you make bang bang goose?
Right, yeah. That's how he got dead anyway. But anyway, my point is if you mix a little bit of that in your brine, it'll make that goose a really cool, like dark red mahogany color. And because goose is real dark and it almost turns black, but that nitrite brings a little bit of color out of it, and it's really appealing to the eye. But I'm just talking the tip of a spoon in your
brine.
Seems
like we made some of that at a tailgate at MSU a few years back.
You know what? It's my least favorite game to
eat.
Okay. Yeah. I just really don't enjoy it at all because it's such a strong flavor.
Yeah.
But there's recipes all
over
the internet.
I'll take a buy on that next time, too.
Yeah.
So the goose jerky you buy is typically domestic goose.
Yeah, right. It's going to be from a farm.
Okay.
It's not going to be wild goose. But anyway.
How about that? Let's talk pizza next session.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to heat up the oven and maybe smoke a pizza. Stick with us. We'll be back. Temptation in my ear. It's a feeling all right. Saturday night, and that's how we do it round here. Yeah, that's how we do it round here.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. We're talking a little bit about setting up the fall menu. We just got done with some pheasant, duck, and goose. And Barbecue Bob likes to get out in the backyard and make pizza. A little bit about that.
Well, I'm surprised you don't do it more because you have a giant Kamado cooker.
Right.
And if you have Randy happens to have a Big Green Egg XL.
Right.
And those are awesome pizza ovens.
But let me tell you what's going on there, which I know I can do it. I just haven't. One, it creates a lot of food. A pizza's pretty good size, and I always want to fill it up. But the second thing is I've broken three of those plate setters that are ceramic in there, which is the pizza stone, if you will. So the last time I said, I'll be damned if I do that again, and I went and bought a steel one.
That's what I was going to tell you.
Cast iron.
Yeah.
Well, will they do the pizzas as well as the ceramic?
Because you're going to put the pizza on the grate. You're not going to put it on that plate setter. You should never put anything on the plate setter.
Okay.
Maybe that's why they were breaking.
Well, no. They were hot and they slip out of my hand is what it was when I'm cleaning the thing.
You shouldn't serve the pizza on the plate setter.
Okay, but you don't cook it on the plate setter either.
No.
Okay, so you cook it on the grate, but it doesn't fall down between the grates?
Well, okay, let's back up here. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk a little pizza here, and we're going to try and separate the different ways you do pizza based on the type of grill you have.
Okay.
So in this case, Jop has a Kamado cooker. All right, it's a big ceramic egg-looking thing.
Primo, Big Egg,
yeah,
there's many brands
out
there.
There's a million of them.
Right.
So if you have one of those and there's a grate on it, now under the grate there might be something he called a plate setter, which is a diffusion or a diversion plate. It basically keeps those radiant coals from overcooking the bottom of whatever you have on your grate. Let's say you have one of those eggs, a Kamado, and you want to cook your pizza to have a nice crispy crust.
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you to put a little oil on that baby. Put that take your crust, put a little oil on the bottom, flip it over, put all your toppings on it, and take your spit and slide it out on that grate with an oily bottom right on the grate.
It's not going to fall through?
No.
I mean, with the spaces in the grate?
No.
Okay.
If it does, get a different, smaller grate to do it on or something like that. But typically, no. If you're building...
The crust is thick enough that it'll support it.
And you might have to adjust the thickness of your crust to do that. So that I've never had that problem.
Okay.
I don't make them that thin that you can't do that. But another way to do it is to get a stone. And you can buy pizza stones in the big box stores for $25. It's a ceramic wheel. And you set that on your grate. And here's the key with that. You want that to be on your grate as soon as you fire up your grill. So you want that stone really, really hot by the time you take that, I think it's called a spat, isn't it? I've got a couple of them, these great big paddles that you slide the pizza out.
Right.
By the time you slide that pizza out there, you throw a little a cornmeal on there, and you take that paddle and slide your pizza out onto the stone with that, and you put it on that hot stone.
Right.
Shut your lid.
Okay. And then it becomes an oven.
No, I was telling you. Heat. I was telling you, shut your lid.
Yeah. I you see how effective that was. But anyway, so then you shut the lid, you're creating convective heat. Now, with that pizza stone, you didn't have the plate setter or diffuser below it. The actual stone is being the diffuser itself.
You may or may not. So let's talk about the average person.
Right.
They're going to have a gas grill.
Right.
There's your pizza stone.
Okay.
Or there's just putting it on the grate.
Right.
Now, there's another way you can do that. You can just put your crust on the grill. You can oil both sides of it, and you can get it nice and kind of golden on one side, and then gently lift it up, and with two hands, flip that baby over, and then be ready to reverse build it. So what I'm going to do to reverse build it is I'm going to put my mozzarella cheese on real quick while it's nice and hot, and then I'm going to put a little bit of whatever I'm doing. Like
vegetables or meats or whatever,
well,
right?
No, I'm thinking of the sauce.
Oh, okay.
Like a pesto or something, or a little bit of red sauce. And then I'm going to throw my veggies and all that stuff on there, and I'm going to shut the lid again. So that cheese is going to melt in. You're going to have a little sauce on there, and then your veggies and all that stuff will be on top. And you can throw a little bit of cheese on top again, some Parmesan or something to finish it off.
Okay.
But that's a reverse build.
Okay.
And most guys will tell you a reverse build, you do it like you do a regular one. I've tried it. I like putting the mozzarella on right when that baby's hot.
So what's the benefit of reverse building one? Did you get...
Your cheese melts.
Okay.
Because otherwise, to get your cheese to melt, you got to leave it on there so long that you've burnt your crust.
Okay.
So you got to go a little lighter with your toppings
even
when
though
you do
it's
this.
On the stone.
Well, no, you're putting it right on the grate.
Ah, there
this,
you go.
This was
okay.
On a grate.
All right.
I apologize if
nope,
I didn't
nope.
clarify
I
that.
Got you now.
So that's a reverse. That's right. What I call a reverse method. People might call it different things. The other way then is if you have a big enough grill to do it in an indirect or offset method. So if you got two burners on the left and two on the right, you turn the two on the left on and you put your pizza on a cookie sheet, on the rack, whatever you want. On the cooler side, shut your lid and just do it that way.
Again, we're just creating convective heat,
and
almost
smoke,
like an oven.
Yeah,
and
a little
smoke.
Savory flavor.
Right. Yep.
So there's a lot of ways you can do that, depending on the type of grill you have. That is a variation, and we all have different grills, you know?
Right.
Not everybody has three or four grills. Some people only have one.
Exactly.
And maybe it's a kettle grill, a basic charcoal grill.
Right.
Well, that's a fantastic grill to do a pizza. That's actually perfect to mm-hmm. do a pizza on.
Right.
In that case, I would say invest $25 and get a pizza stone.
Right.
Put that baby on there with some nice lump charcoal. We use Parker. And then slide your pizza on there. A little... I think it's called a spat. I've got a couple of them, but
a big wooden board.
Yeah, mine are metal. They're stainless, but
okay.
They look like a giant spatula, basically.
Right.
And you put some cornmeal on your thing when you're making your cookie sheet or whatever when you're making your crust, and then by the time you get your whole thing built with that cornmeal under it, that spat will slide right under there, and it serves as kind of ball bearings or something for your food.
Yeah, so right. It slides off.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
And then you throw a little on your stone as well, and slide that thing in there, shut your lid. And I'm going to tell you, you want to go as high as you can go with that. So run her up to 400-500 degrees if you can.
Right.
And it's going to be awesome.
On that charcoal grill, that Kamado, you're going to leave the air open, wide open on the bottom, and the same thing coming out the top.
Or on a kettle or any kind of basic charcoal. Leave your bottom vents open.
Right.
And
get her hot.
Yep.
And
use a nice charcoal.
Yeah, just be careful, though, because when you open that lid, you're going to get a waft of really hot air.
Yes, you
will.
That
comes out of there. And if you're using charcoal, it's going to get a huge gulp of oxygen when you open that top, and it can flame up around that stone. So just be careful when you open the lid, because when you pull that open and that thing gulps all that oxygen that you just drew in there, creates a little vacuum, and you're going to get a flare-up. It'll go right away, but you don't want to burn yourself.
You're burning off it's a second burn. It's regasification.
Yep.
So if you want to learn more about this, go to thegrillinguys.com. Hit our website. You can contact Jop. You can contact Barbecue Bob. You can just leave a post a comment in general. You can hook up for a podcast because we podcast the show. So if you look at thegrillinguys.com, upper right-hand corner, you'll notice a little headset with some fancy little lines on it. Click on that, and it'll walk you through how to sign up for our podcast. They're absolutely free. We don't charge. And we'll send it to your phone every week. As soon as the show plays, it's going to be sent to your phone. So if you don't want to miss a show and you want to maybe take it on the airplane or on the over the highway, if you're a long-haul trucker or whatever, you can put us in with the rest of your podcasts and do that. Now, also go to Facebook.com/TheGrillinGuys and like our page. And I'm on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy. And we also have another website we manage. It's called GIBBQ.com. We're going to talk about that next because we are still working on a mission for our boys.
Yeah. And you know what? If you got an opportunity to take a picture of something that you've recently grilled, smoked, or deep fried, throw that up on our Facebook. And if you've got any questions about how to do things, we're happy to weigh in on those as well. Coming up next, Operation GI Barbecue. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Contact down the sink. Them pantyhose ain't gonna last too long if the DJ puts Bon Jovi on.
This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Now you're a man!
Right, today's man law, in keeping with our fowl theme, be like a duck, remain calm on the surface, and paddle like crazy underneath.
Nobody will know the difference, but you're going somewhere and it looks effortless. That's where it's all about. But speaking of effort, we need a little of your help here, and we're not pandering. We're just going to call it like it is. Operation GI Barbecue is a charity that the Grillin' Guys started, and the premise of this thing 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, was that we want to bring a little taste of home to our troops. And we had some great sponsors get behind this thing, and we got grills and, we got smokers, we've got charcoal, we've got sauces, meats, rubs, all of the stuff that needs to happen. And the one thing that we're missing is transportation. Right, Bob?
Yeah, we need to get this first load out to Camp Pendleton, and I'm actually going to finalize the date this week. This weekend, right now, they're doing their Globe and Anchor Awards, and I had to let them get through this because my doing our thing was kind of overloading them. So they're getting through this. Next week, I'm going to talk with Chris out there at the Marine Corps Museum. He's the one that's going to store this equipment and be the caretaker for it. because the Marines can't physically take possession of it. So okay. This is a cool way I've found that we can do things is by using these organizations on base.
Right.
And so we're now going to be right down to shipping that thing out in a couple of weeks, and we need freight. We either need the back end of a truck. We need two skids, basically, two or three skids shipped out there. Parker Pure Mountain Charcoal is shipping the charcoal straight from the refinery or the kiln. And all we need is to put the smoker and a skid of barbecue sauce on the back end of somebody's semi, and we need it to go to Camp Pendleton. And
which is where?
It's in San Diego.
Right. So if you've got a West Coast run with produce, or you've got a, if you're a trucking company
anything.
And you're listening now, if you've got a regular trip out there, boy, we really could use. We are a qualified 501c3 charity,
yes.
So we can give you a write-off.
Operation
on that.
Injured Soldier runs
right.
The money, and even if you don't have a trucking company, but you have the heart to help out our troops, we're going to make hundreds and thousands of Marines happy with this shipment, and these people are not getting paid a lot, and they're potentially going to be taking bullets for us all someday. So I think to give them a nice warm meal before they ship out is a good thing. So why don't you just reach inside your heart and your wallet and go to gibbq.com, click on the donate page, kick in whatever you can. It's so easy. I mean, you know, don't go out to dinner this week. Give it to them.
Yep. If we just had a tenth of our listeners each give $10, we would...
We'd have $20.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe half of them need to do it. But but anyway, you know, this, we're not asking for a lot from anybody. We're asking for a little from a lot of people. And 100% of your money goes toward this effort. Barbecue Bob and I and anybody else involved are taking none of this
right.
ourselves. So we're just trying to push this one over the top.
Well, in total disclosure, I have offered to Operation Injured Soldier 10% of all our proceeds to help their cause because they're doing all the work for us. But they don't take any administrative money out either.
Right.
So full fair disclosure there.
Yep. All right. Very good. But we appreciate you listening to Grilling Guys each and every week. We're all over this wonderful country we call America. And if you get a chance
America.
To salute those that are protecting and serving, and please keep in your thoughts and prayers the folks that are in the south part of the country that are being battered by these hurricanes. And if there's a way you can reach out and help, you know, we're all about that. Let's all pitch in and make life just a little bit easier for them. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll talk with you next week. And pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock.